Recapping the 3rd District Congressional Debate featuring Tim Smith, Andy Zay, Wendy Davis, and Marlon Stutzman. You've heard a ton of my thoughts already this morning, so now let's hear from one of the candidates who made the cut to participate yesterday, Tim Smith. Good morning, Tim.
Well, good morning, Kayla. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're back in studio here to chit-chat. First of all, how did you think it went yesterday?
Well, first of all, thank you and the other moderators and the host, PFW, for hosting. It's been surprising to me how little coverage this race has gotten.
You and me both, Tim.
You talk about it a lot, and I appreciate that. I think the other candidates do, too. But, boy, it seems like a lot of the other media haven't covered it much. It's a U.S. congressional race. I was hoping for more, so thanks for doing it.
I think, well, at least from the media side, I will say this. It's hard to cover it because it's so crowded. There are 8 of you. There are also multiple other races going on. But because this is obviously the 3rd district, I find it to be a rather important race to continue following. So here we are. I do want to get a couple of follow-ups from you this morning, if that's okay.
Sure.
I want to start with abortion. I think anybody who follows you or who knows you or supports you knows that you are extremely pro-life. But I'm hoping for just a really blatant yes or no answer this morning. We asked you yesterday about former President Donald Trump, you know, saying that essentially abortions should be left up to the stances on that to individual states. And he recently did not press for a national abortion ban. So if you, you know, were to be elected to office, would you advocate for a national abortion ban?
Yeah, this is really easy. I am pro-life, proud to be endorsed by a couple different pro-life groups. Any limitation on abortion will be good, federal or state. So count me as a yes vote to any limitation on abortion. I'm running for a federal office. The answer's yes. Look, a lot of my pro-life friends say, well, you can't support a ban of X number of weeks. And I respond by asking why. A ban at any number of weeks is better than no ban at all at the federal level. So, of course.
Did it surprise you that your opponents really didn't answer that question as directly as you did?
If you aren't clear-minded and clearly spoken on the issue of life, I wonder about your position.
In terms of a federal abortion ban and that number of weeks, do you have a number in mind, Tim?
The fewer abortions, the better.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe. Mm-hmm. I don't know, 6 is bantied about, 15 is bantied mm-hmm. about. Kayla, when you go to Congress, you have to get stuff done.
Correct.
What we have now are a bunch of people who don't get anything done. In fact, they work very hard to not get things done. On this issue, I will want to get something done. So when a ban comes to the floor, I'm going to vote for it.
Yeah.
Because today, there's no ban. This isn't hard. Do we want fewer abortions or more abortions?
All I know is I was surprised by how that question was handled yesterday. So I wanted to be able to circle back with you this morning because I did think it was one of your shining moments day yesterday.
This is the difference between an outsider versus an insider. Mm-hmm. Someone who isn't trying to appease every constituency to get a vote. I think that's what you're seeing.
The other thing that I kind of wanted to circle back on, at one point y'all were asked, and I actually thought it was a really great question. Dirk Rowley from Wayne TV asked it. It was actually his idea to ask this question. He asked all of you if there was a group, you know, or a person out there that you see facing some real heartbreaking challenges in the district. And he asked, you know, if you would be willing to seek to help this group, organization, person, if elected. And you responded about how blessed you are to be the CEO of Lasting Change, which essentially oversees multiple facilities here in the state for disadvantaged youth and families. And I just found myself wondering, Tim, and forgive me, but I'm going to be blunt and honest. I didn't know if I believed that answer, you know, if you really spend time with these people, if you know their names, you know their stories. So I just wanted to ask you to elaborate on that this morning.
Yeah, it's actually your response surprises me a little bit. I literally chose to make my second career helping the least fortunate in the state of Indiana. This isn't a talking point for me. This isn't a story or an anecdote. I chose to spend my full-time career helping the least fortunate, kids, families alike, in all 92 counties across the state. We are helping 10,000 families this year. We are in the homes of these 10,000 families in all 92 counties. If there is a criminal judge involved in a family, if there's the Department of Corrections, the Department of Child Services, no matter the circumstances, we are literally in their homes helping with their mental health. Kayla, I'm I'm 55. I grew up in a preacher's house in New Haven, Indiana. Went to New Haven High School and PFW. Ran for mayor. I mean, I would have told you 5 years ago that I was palpably aware of the struggles of people across the state. And I will tell you now, having worked for this organization for almost 4 years, that I wasn't. That things are way worse off. No, I'm not going to mention names, obviously. But these kids who have been the subject of abuse, these kids who literally have never had parents. Kayla, there are 2,500 kids in the state of Indiana right now where a judge has terminated parental rights. They don't have parents. This isn't a foster situation. They don't have parents. Maybe their parents are passed. Maybe they're in jail. Maybe they've done such terrible things that a judge said, you can't be a parent anymore. And nobody's adopting them. Kayla, it's the saddest thing I experience every day. In my family personally, one of my children and her husband have adopted two kids out of the Indiana foster system. They were both born addicted to terrible drugs. One of them was minus 20 percentile on the preemie growth chart, if you know what that means. Mm-hmm. There's a normal growth chart.
I do. I have a daughter, yeah.
There's a preemie growth chart. Mm-hmm. Minus 20% because of the drugs. The physical and emotional challenges of these kids cannot be overstated. I'm super honored that one of my kids decided to adopt them in. I spend a lot of time with these two kids. These two kids are the same as the 10,000 that my company's helping. It will be my greatest honor to actually help from a congressional perspective the most helpless in the state of Indiana.
I always love to ask this question after a debate. Is there anything that you wish you had answered differently now that you've had, you know, almost 24 hours to kind of sit back and reflect and maybe listen to it? I don't know if you listened on Wilmer or not, but is there anything you would have answered differently?
Yeah, I wish I would have taken more time. And actually, I wish the moderators would have asked questions about this. Explaining the difference between candidates that are being supported and propped up by super PACs and those who
aren't.
I knew
you were going to say that, Tim.
So, well, it's if I'm a voter, I want to know about this. I'm not sure the voters appreciate the impact. So here's a couple facts. In the last 10 days, Washington, D.C. super PACs, and this is a group that can get as much money as they want from billionaires under the Citizens United case that John Kenworthy just mentioned, mm-hmm. by the way. And John, one of my competitors, is a hero, having served in the military. John's Amen. Unit lost more men than anybody else, and I have nothing but respect for John Kenworthy and his service in that regard. But a super PAC can receive $1 billion, literally, as a donation. A regular PAC can't. A regular PAC can only donate to a candidate up to $5,000. Kayla, I have received $0 from super PACs of support, $0 from PACs. In the last 10 days, super PACs have put almost $1.5 million into this race. That is more than any of the candidates have spent. In fact, if you add up the spending of the bottom six or seven, it's more than all of them. Super PACs are ruining America. So here's my question. If a super PAC winning for women that's been supporting Wendy now for weeks, which was radically anti-Trump, chooses to support Wendy, I wonder why. That's strange to me. 3 days ago, another super PAC called Club for Growth put a $540,000 TV buy on behalf of Marlon. Club for Growth is very anti-Trump. Both Wendy and Marlon talk about being pro-Trump. In fact, they slip it into every fifth sentence when we're together. I find it fascinating that both of them have now benefited by $500,000-ish by these super PACs who are very anti-Trump. Strange.
So what are you saying? There should be no super PAC money involved at all? You wish every candidate wouldn't take it?
There should be disclosure, mm-hmm. and the voters should understand where these ads are coming from. Here's another little secret. It's so good when you finally get to run and tell the voters what really goes on in D.C. When you're a candidate, you're invited to talk to these groups. And I never got invited to talk to Winning for Women because they believe, and they have the right to do so, by the way, that gender matters. I don't think gender matters in terms of who's in Congress, but they do. That's fine. They never invited me to talk to them. It's America. And there's a First Amendment. They can do whatever they want. I did get invited to talk to others. I was asked specifically by a super PAC, Will you join the Freedom Caucus? Mm. This super PAC funds many members in the Freedom Caucus. Mm-hmm. And I said, no. And they said, well, Tim, your policies are very aligned with the Freedom Caucus. Why won't you join? I said, well, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I've heard if you commit to the Freedom Caucus, you know, you're committing your vote,
exactly.
and you're expected to vote
exactly.
the party line. And here was the answer. Well, you actually get 3 votes per session. Kayla, I was told that I could have three votes.
3 votes, Tim? That's, wow.
I was told that.
Wow.
Look, Marlon Stutzman helped found and form the Freedom Caucus. Club for Growth, that just put $540,000 behind him, funds many members of the Freedom Caucus. Kayla, voters should be aware. These candidates, Marlon and Wendy, who are taking so much money, are bought and paid for by the super PACs. The same super PACs who are anti-Trump. Look, I was the first person to endorse Trump and proud to endorse Trump. Do you know when Marlon did it? After me. You know when Wendy and Andy did it? When it was obvious that he was going to win both Iowa and New Hampshire. Look, you're either America first or you're not. I'm proud to be America first. It is the framework through by which I judge foreign policy and international investment and defense policy investment and the border issue. I'm not bought and paid for, Kayla. I haven't accepted one penny from a PAC or a super PAC. This will not be the best job I've ever had in my life. In fact, well, it just won't be the best job I've ever had. I'll tell you that.
I know my it won't ego, be the best paying job for you.
My ego doesn't need to go to Washington, yeah. D.C. And because I'm not bought and paid for, I'm going to be able to stand up for all the average Joe six packs in Indiana 3. And I can't wait.
Tim, we are way out of time, but I know I'm going to bring you back before May 7th. So thanks for coming back in studio.
Thanks so much.
Tim Smith, one of your congressional candidates running for the 3rd District.
Podcasts by Federated Media.